Hello and welcome to today's Good News of the Kingdom podcast with Gary Miller, voice of the International Congregation of Yahweh. ICY has been publishing literature for over 27 years and has radio broadcast outlets in over 20 countries. ICY's magazine, Insight, is celebrating its 23rd anniversary and has readers in more than 30 countries worldwide. We hope you will stay with us after today's program for a detailed look inside the Insight and our other literature covering a variety of biblical topics. You may also visit us online at icyahweh.org.
Well, it's good to be here. We're in Pocahontas. And eventually, those of you who are listening by tape, we certainly welcome you. And we're here in a not-so-wintry day. It's very good to see the brethren once again. It's been a while since we've gotten together. There's several things I want to look at here, but the main thing I want to focus on is a couple things here, two things. Primarily, number one, what is it that it takes to be knowledgeable enough to be baptized? What's the minimum that we need to know? A lot of people know, they want to know, you know, do I need to know everything before I'm baptized? Or is, let's say, knowledge that you shouldn't lie and steal, and is that enough? You know, what is enough to qualify for baptism in Yahshua's name? And I want to look at that, and then I'm going to look at, answer that question, and then talk about, in connection with that, why is it the churches all agree on one thing? There is lots of disagreement among the churches. You know, groups split all the time. They split for whatever reason. Want to use several cups at, quote, the Lord's Supper or one, or they may split over everything. But there's something they all agree on. I'm talking about sacred name groups, Sabbath groups, the Protestants, Messianic Judaism, you name it. There is one thing they agree on. And why is that? I'm going to talk about that one thing in connection with this other question. Some surprising things I'm going to, well, maybe not so surprising since I've been talking about it for about 7 years, but some evidence has come to light that I think you'll find interesting. Well, when you start to answer that question, a man wrote me some time ago, fairly recently, actually, and wanted to answer that question because we'd been corresponding a little bit, and he was talking about wanting to be baptized. This is down in Florida. You know, it's obviously just around the corner down in Florida, and he's in prison, and there's some other prisoners there, and they were talking about wanting to be baptized, had read some of our literature and so on. So I wrote him back and said, you know, if you don't have a certain amount of knowledge, you're trading one bad religion for another. And so does Yahweh honor that? Does Yahweh look at it and say, well, I know they don't understand very much, but let them go ahead and be baptized in Yahshua's name and we'll go from there? You know, that's a good question because people worry about that. They wonder, why is it not all these churches are at the same place? You know, you have the whole spectrum of religious beliefs goes from one extreme to the other, and you find every gradation in there that you can imagine about religious beliefs. Some are off a little bit from each other, and then you have those that are really way off from each other. And so does Yahweh look at that and say, well, this group on the elementary end, I'm bringing them along, and then I've got those on the other end, they that are holding not a position, they're on cruise control, they'll be okay, you know. But these others, we got to kind of bring them up, and I know they don't understand anything about the Sabbath, and they don't understand this, but let's go ahead and let them be baptized in Yahshua's name, and gradually over time, we'll fix those problems. So the question is, how much do you have to know before you really are ready to be baptized in Yahshua's name? And that's a question that has to be answered. Because it happens that people who are baptized in Yahshua's name are they do that with a wide variety of beliefs about what sin is. And so with that wide disparity in beliefs about what sin is, they're baptized, and then they tend, the evidence shows this, they tend to stay where they are. So the evidence is telling us, from what I can see, that the idea that a person is ready for baptism when they repent of what they believe to be sin, that that's good enough. The evidence shows us that that's not working. That theory doesn't work. Because when people do that, by and large, if you look at, I'd say, all the cases that I know of, they stay basically in the same rut they were when they were baptized. And they don't grow in grace and knowledge. Now, growing in grace and knowledge is a very important key. And the question is, what knowledge do you grow in? Well, let's put those two terms together. Growing in grace and knowledge. The grace of Yahweh is unmerited pardon. And it's pardon given when people repent. So the knowledge and the grace go together. See, you get grace, which is unmerited pardon, once you repent of sins, because the penalty's been paid by Yahshua. That's the grace side of things. So as a result, if you're not growing in grace and knowledge, or knowledge, you're not growing in grace. Yahweh's not going to give you more grace if you stay right where you are. You know, the man on the street that knows nothing about the Sabbath, does Yahweh know him? Does Yahweh grant grace to that person in his abject ignorance of what Yahweh expects of people? No, and I've said this before, Yahweh does not respond to heartache. He doesn't respond to problems. He responds to repentance. That's what he responds to. If that were not true, there would be no homeless, and there would be no sick, and there would be no wars, because he would respond to all those that are devastated by war, genocide, and all these kinds of things. But why is he not responding to those things? Because those people do not repent. So he responds to repentance. He doesn't respond to all the bad things that happen. All the bad things that happen are consequences of what people do, the choices they make. So that's the hard side of it. And to compromise on that basic stance that you have to know a certain amount before you're qualified to be baptized, you cannot compromise on it. Because if you do, where do you stop compromising? Let's take, for example, the Sabbath. Let's say that somebody knows there is a Sabbath, and we, of course, understand what the true Sabbath versus the good counterfeit versus the bad counterfeit is. The true Sabbath is from dawn to dark. And if somebody doesn't know that, does Yahweh accept that repentance anyway? And say, okay, go ahead and be baptized in Yahshua's name. I know you don't know anything about the sign, but it's okay. If you believe, just what you believe is sin, that's good enough. See, if he did that, he would compromise on his law. He's not going to do that. Yahweh's not going to compromise on the law. Yahweh never changes. We have to do the changing. The general religious view is that the law is changed so people won't have to. We've got it backwards. Yahweh doesn't change. The law doesn't change. We're the ones that have to do the changing. And that's the thing that we, as a human race, resist. So, no, Yahweh's not going to compromise on that. So let's turn for just a moment here to Exodus, the 31st chapter. And this is a little bit of review here, but as a professor told me one time, I still think it's true, repetition is good for the delicate mind. So review is a good thing, to look at it again, to review it. In Exodus 31st chapter, this is a very important scripture, verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep. For it, the keeping of the Sabbaths, is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. after the cross, before the cross, at the time of the cross, any time throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. It is a major tenet of the law, the Sabbath. It is so major that if you break it, you incur the death penalty. It's a capital offense to break the Sabbath. Well, you have to know when it is. It's a capital offense. Now think about that for a moment. If Yahweh would compromise on the Sabbath by saying people do not have to repent of breaking the Sabbath, and I'll go ahead and let them be baptized in Yahshua's name and give them my Holy Spirit, even though they have not repented of breaking the Sabbath, even in many, many cases, because we've sent out hundreds and hundreds of things regarding this. These cases where people are shown the absolute truth about it, if they would just read it. If Yahweh would compromise on that and people would refuse to accept that, he would be saying, okay, the Sabbath's not that important. It's a capital offense to break the Sabbath. It's not a light matter. It's not one of the light matters of the law. It's one of the weightier matters of the law. So why would Yahweh say, okay, somebody is ready to be baptized, even though they're going to continue committing this capital offense? It's okay. You see, because when people do, if they're baptized in Yahshua's name, it happens probably every day. People by the thousands have been baptized in His name. And they come in from breaking a Sunday Sabbath to start keeping the Babylonian Sabbath. And you know what? 40 years later, they're still there. They're right there keeping that sunset to sunset Sabbath. They still don't have the sign. So my conclusion is, based on verse 13, is they're not sanctified. Yes, they've been baptized in Yahshua's name. And yes, they repented of what they believed to be sin, but they're still not sanctified. If they're not sanctified, they're not Yahweh's. That is the hard fact of the matter. So I think you have to get firm about this when it comes to what qualifies a person to be ready for baptism. Now, when somebody asks the question, such as from where this person is coming from that I mentioned earlier, they feel like that so long as they repent of just what they know to repent of, that that's good enough. But is that good enough? Is that good enough? I don't think it is. Can you imagine that somebody would be qualified to be baptized in Yahshua's name and yet not accept the only sign He gave of His Messiahship and His mission? They reject that sign, the only sign He gave, reject it. Are they qualified to be baptized if they don't believe Him in that respect? Well, what was the sign that He gave? Over in Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40, He said, there would be no sign given. It said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You know, that's kind of the ooh-ah, the shock and awe kind of approach to religion. To be all inspired by some great miracle. And Yahweh's, you know, inspired Yahshua with His spirit and power to do great miracles. But I don't think the miracles nor the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh or His name is the sign. The Bible doesn't say it is. The only sign He said that He would give is that the Son of Man would be in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was. 3 days and three nights. Now, why this connection with time? It's very important. It is so fundamental. It's hard to even grasp the true fundamental nature of the day and night situation. The only sign that He gave had to do with distinguishing a day from a night. Why did He do that? Because, go back and connect the dots here, because the Sabbath is the sign that you're sanctified. The Sabbaths, all of them. The Sabbaths are the sign that you're sanctified. And the sign that Joshua gave of who he was and what he was all about and his mission had to do with that. Now, if somebody doesn't accept that, somebody does not accept his only sign of his messiahship, how could they be qualified to be baptized? If somebody said, well, you know, I don't really see this dawn to dark Sabbath stuff, you know, but I'd like to be baptized in Yahshua's name because I've repented of, I don't steal cars anymore, you know, I don't hold up banks, I've decided to give that up. Whatever, is he qualified? No, he is not qualified to be baptized if he can't see that fundamental issue. Because what happens is if he's baptized and not knowing it, he'll never repent of it. It'd take an absolute miracle like it took with all of us. But it'd take an absolute miracle for him ever to come around again. And so it's not a light issue. When you talk about the issue of being baptized, you have to know what to repent of. And that's why people by the thousands and tens of thousands are right where they were 30 years ago, even though they've been baptized in Yahshua's name. And they repented of something. Maybe things that are absolute, that are sin. But there's some laws are weightier than other laws. That's just the way it is. And the Sabbath is a weighty issue. Now, stealing, of course, Joshua talked about that. You know, he mentioned what it takes to get in the kingdom of Yahweh. In stealing, you have to pay back, you know, like 5 for 1 if you steal an ox and 2 for 1 if you steal a sheep or something like that. I don't know the death penalty for stealing unless it's kidnapping. If you kidnap, that's stealing a person. That does incur the death penalty, certainly. But goods, it's not quite the same penalty. So, let's say somebody says, I repented of stealing. I know a guy that he confessed in church one day that he used to steal cars and change the VIN numbers and this sort of thing. There's some racket they call it. I forget what they call it now, but he sold hot cars. And after he came to the truth, accepted the Babylonian Sabbath, among other things, he decided that he'd quit doing that, you know. So, is that enough? Well, he is still believing the Babylonian Sabbath, even though he doesn't steal anymore. Does he have the sign? No. Is he sanctified? No. On the basis of the scriptures, he's not. Chances of him repenting to get the sign? Very, very small. Very small. Now, you see, what is it that's so important about baptism? I think that we've pretty well established here that if you don't know what to repent of, baptism in Yahshua's name is really not that important, except in this sense. Baptism, and I'm going to give you some evidence here from science that's pretty hard to argue against, although I think the Bible is greater than science is, but people tend to believe science, you know. They might believe what the Bible says. I'm not saying y'all, but people may not believe what the Bible says, but if science says it, well, sure, it's got to be true, you know. But the issue of baptism and what you need to know to be baptized is extremely important. Now, what does baptism do? What does baptism do? Baptism, over in Acts, it's described over there what baptism does. Over in Acts, the 22nd chapter, verse 16. Here's what it says. Of course, this is the Acts of the Apostles. It tells you what they did, 22 and verse 16. It says now, this is, in this case, it had come to Saul, and they said, what shall we do, and so on. And he said, now, why tarry you? Arise and be baptized, which means to submerge, to whelm. The word whelm means to totally submerge or engulf. To be whelmed, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. That's what it does. That's what it does. Now, this came after a very important sequence of events. Let's turn to Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. As you know, this is a sermon, part of a sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost. And he described how David has not ascended into heavens and that Joshua was rejected and so on, and did many miracles and wonders and signs, and but they delivered him into wicked hands and crucified him and so on. He was, you know, they were pricked in their heart about all this. And notice what it says here in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, I want you to notice the sequence here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Breath. Now notice, that's not all he says. Now if you read through the second chapter of Acts up to verse 37, I think, based on what's there, there's very, very sketchy information sufficient for repentance in that chapter. What Peter said, all the way from starting about verse 14, Peter standing up with 11, he made these comments. What he said there, if you read through it, is not enough to enable a person to be qualified to be baptized. He didn't make one statement about what you're supposed to repent of, not one, up to that point. But notice what it says. He goes on to say here, in verse 39, it says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, as Yahweh our Elohim shall call, and as many as he shall call. Now here's a crucial verse 40. He said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, this is not all he said, but these other words are not recorded, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, many other words he stated, he exhorted, he explained, he testified and exhorted to them. Now, those have to be the words necessary for salvation, necessary for repentance. Because he just said, repent and be baptized, but in the previous 8 or 15 verses or so, he had not given them the knowledge of what repentance should be of. So there had to be more to it than that. Because you can't repent unless you know what to repent of. So I think he went on to say an awful lot about what you should repent of. And I cannot imagine, in my wildest imagination, that the apostles, somebody would come up to them and say, hey, I realize Sunday's the wrong Sabbath, but I believe the Babylonian Sabbath is the way to go. Sunset to sunset. I'm going to keep my holy days by the conjunction, by the first visible crescent. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to forget about the Feast of Weeks. You know, but I'd like to be baptized. I cannot, in my wildest imagination, think that an apostle would say, great, be baptized in Yahshua's name. No, no way. Is somebody, are they going to allow somebody that is not going to repent of breaking Yahweh's law, the Sabbaths, which is a capital offense, a death penalty offense, he's going to go ahead and baptize them anyway? I cannot imagine that they would do that. Because what they would be doing is compromising on the law. And what, like I said, once you start, where do you stop? What do you not compromise on? Oh, it's okay. I'm soft on crime. It's all right. Just don't worry about it. Just be a good person as you define good. No, that's not going to work. So this is what Peter said. And then he describes, or the record does over in Acts 22, describes what baptism really does. That's what baptism does. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. It washes away your sins. Matthew, the third chapter, and verse 11. This is John preaching. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, fire. It says with fire in the King James. Whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. Of course, that's one of our Feast of Weeks verses right there. It tells you when he's going to gather the people is during the wheat harvest. Gather his wheat into the garner there. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. John baptized people with water. And it says in other places, verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. Goes on to say in verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. It says over in Mark, the first chapter, just holding my place with Mark, the first chapter, tells us a little bit more detail. Very important verse 4 of Mark, the first chapter. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance. This is an astonishing statement for the remission of sins. Isn't that amazing? He said exactly what the apostles said over there in Acts, the 22nd chapter, in verse 16. He said, for the remission of sins, be baptized. Baptism of repentance, he said, we just read, he baptizes with water. Baptism unto repentance for the remission of sins. My question is, where is Yahshua's name ever mentioned there? Was there ever any baptism in Yahshua's name? Under John? Not a mention anywhere that I can find. But still, the sins were washed away. The sins were washed away. So that's very important. We know what baptism does. I want to read you something here. We'll hold a thought right there. I want to read you something from science. This is a recent report. Actually, I first found this in the Sunday paper in the parade. It was under Make One Healthy Move a Day, 7 Tips to Get You Started. And one of those tips is quit waffling on your decisions. I want to read this little excerpt here. It says, when you read this, in light of what we've just said, it makes all the sense in the world. Sooner or later, like I've said before about this or other things, science will catch up to the Bible sooner or later. When it comes to immortality, the Bible is light years ahead of current biological research. There are laws of biology that we don't even suspect. We feel like we've discovered the major law. There are laws, fundamental laws about biology that biologists don't even suspicion are out there. But the Bible talks about that. The Bible gives those laws. But notice what it says here. Washing your hands can help you stop questioning a decision. According to these researchers, Spike Lee and Norbert Schwartz, psychology researchers at the University of Michigan. Here's what they say. Cleansing appears to remove not just physical residues, but mental residues, such as the concern about whether one has made the right choice, has a psychological effect. It removes, I'll say it again, not only removes physical residues, but mental residues, they call it, such as concern about whether or not you made the right choice. I followed this up a little bit here. And it's on the same, this was actually published in the Current Directions in Psychological Science. Here's what they say. Surprise, surprise. Now see, they're learning these things. And this is what the Bible's been talking about. We I guess, what, 6 or 7 years ago is when I actually discovered that this is really what baptism does. It's a psychological way. It's a way of cleansing yourself psychologically. Because you confess your sins. You get the sins on the, apparently on the, reside on the surface of the skin. You have a complete baptism, and it washes that away. It remits those sins. It washes those sins away. That's a sort of a mechanical process. Whether you use Yahshua's name or not, it does happen. Because John baptized people with water under repentance for the remission of sins. Didn't say anything about the sacrifice of Yahshua whatsoever. What's it telling you? Exactly what this science report is saying. It does take away your sins. And I'll get to the baptism thing and why the Sabbath's important here in just a moment. Here's what they say. Religious rites like baptism make psychological sense, the article suggests. Says Lee, cleansing is about the removal of residues. By washing the hands, and what they're going to find out sooner or later, it's not just the hands. They're going to learn that baptism does even more. By washing the hands, taking a shower, or even thinking of doing so, they say. Now, that part I'm not quite sure about. People can rid themselves of a sense of immorality, lucky or unlucky feelings, or doubt about a decision. The bodily experience of removing physical residues can provide the basis of removing more abstract mental residues. It's a fact. It's a fact. You know, Paul talked about, this is the science, okay? Paul talked about over, I believe it was over in Timothy, about in the last days, perilous times will come, and men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of Yahweh, incontinent, fierce. And he went on to say, not lovers of the truth, but lovers of themselves. This is over in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. And he made this statement here. that you think about all these things, these attitudes. Where do they come from? Where does lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, I'm in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and on it goes with just a litany of some pretty horrendous behavior here. And that's what he talked about there. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Well, look at verse 6 here. I think this is very telling what it says. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, that is, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, so on and so on, creeping into houses and lead captive silly women, and I could also say silly men, laden with sins. You see, that's the whole problem. Now, why was John the Baptist called? Why did Yahshua say that he was, there's none greater than John the Baptist? Let's just look at that scripture. Matthew, that's a pretty bold statement. Matthew 11 and verse 11. In fact, I asked my wife, how often do you wash your hands after reading that article? And I've thought about my own situation. I wash my hands a lot at work. And so there's a connection. They've proven this connection. It's what the Bible says. What did Yahshua say this about John the Baptist? Matthew 11:11. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, Matthew 11:11, there has not risen a greater than John. But he didn't stop with that. He said, the Baptist, the baptizer. Why did he say that? Why did Yahshua include that title? Was that John's last name? They didn't have any last names, you know. It wasn't John Smith, it was John. Why did he say John the baptizer? And that word is baptizer. Of course, you know the Baptist. They say, look at that. Our religion goes way back before the Catholic Church because we're Baptists. We're baptizers. Well, of course, that's a real, you know what that is. That's trying to hook your wagon to a star and say, hey, see there, I'm associated with him. You know, look at this. Why did Yahshua say that? And I've wondered about this statement. What was it about John that would cause Yahshua to say, there's nobody greater than John the Baptist? He's the absolute most brilliant man in history. Nobody greater than John the Baptist. Not Caesar, not all of Roman's legions were greater than him. Patton was not greater than him. Saul, David, Moses, Ezekiel, you name it. None greater than John the Baptist. Well, did anybody ever say Moses the baptizer? Moses the Baptist? Anybody ever say Ezekiel the Baptist? Paul the Baptist? Daniel the Baptist? You don't ever see that associated with them, do you? Aaron the Baptist? No, John the Baptist. Here's what I think. I think that the reason Yahshua called him the greatest, said he was the greatest, is because the title he gave him gives it away. He's the baptizer. He's the one guy in history that came along and for the first time, I guess, in history, he showed people the way to get their sins off of them. That's one of the greatest psychological, spiritual innovations in the history of mankind, because it takes away the problems that the human race has. What's greater than that? I mean, he should have gotten a Nobel Prize for that. That is a great innovation. That's a great insight. And we get it from the law. We get it from over there in Leviticus. I'll tell you here in just a second. Where the priest, the high priest, of course, had to wash his clothes and himself in water after he laid the sins, confessed all the sins on the Azazel goat. That's what he had to do. So he had to baptize himself. That's what it was. That's where baptism originated. And John the Baptist had the amazing insight by the inspiration of Yahweh to be able to discern that. Leviticus 16, verse 21. In verse 24, verses 21 through 24. That's where it came from. Because Yahweh knows. See, the high priest confesses all those sins and he gets them on himself. So he had to wash himself totally in water, clothes and all, to be cleansed of all that. Because the chapter over in Timothy, those silly people led captive, laden with sins. So all the truce breakers, the high-minded, the boastful, the proud, all that stuff comes from the laden of sin, the sins that are still on the people. So in our own personal life, when you examine your situation, when I examine my situation, I've been thinking more lately about, for behavior that I have that's contrary to the law, what sin is still laying on me? What sin is still there? Because it's sin that produces all those things I read there in 2 Timothy. It's sin. So if we can find what it is, confess it, get it out, and then have it washed away, go take a shower. Have it washed away, then we're ready for a new start, see. But it's the things that are on us that we have to try to find what it is. We want to get that off of us. Because the only thing that causes any problems that we have are the sins we have. That's the only thing that causes any problems. Because if we didn't have no sins, we could walk on water. We could walk right through that wall. No telling what we could do. We'd have perfect, absolute perfect health if there were no sins. Because this one person came to Yahshua. Yahshua healed him. He said, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Worst thing come on you. What would cause that worst thing to come on him? Sin. So this is one of the greatest discoveries, one of the great discoveries in the history of the human race is what John the Baptist did. That's why I agree with Yahshua, certainly. Even if I didn't understand that part, I still agree with him. I believe that he was great. He commanded no armies. He was not a statesman. He didn't rule any country. He didn't overtake any countries. He didn't build any skyscrapers. He didn't discover any quote, physics laws. But what was it that made him one of the greatest people in the history of the human race? I believe it's this discovery that you can have your sins washed away if you repent and are baptized. That is a great, great discovery. So yes, that's one thing that was probably what made him the greatest among, at least the greatest, as great as anybody else that was ever born. So that makes sense now, that why it's such a great thing. Because there is no way we can make it into Yahweh's kingdom with all the burden of sin on us. There's no way. Absolutely no way. It's a hopeless cause. But by daily repentance, and after repenting, I believe the shower is a good thing. You know, a bathtub may be even better. It may be total submersion. I've had my best results with total submersion at one time, not just wet and then wet and then wet, but totally submerged, you know. That process allows us to move on. You see, because the sacrifices, for example, the sacrifices, what they did is get those sins covered. And that's why Israel became a great nation. That's why the Philistines were not a great nation. That's why the Medes and the Persians, that's why the other countries were not as great as Israel in its heyday. It's because Israel had their sins covered with the sacrifices, and those other nations didn't. So they kept reaping the results of their sins. So we have to have to make it. You won't make it without it. Eventually, our sins will bog us down. And we will quit. We will quit. We'll give up. Something else will happen. Get a bad attitude, whatever it is. Something will happen to us. And it's not because of what somebody else did. It's the sins that are on us. It's our own sins. And so we have to get those things off. And Yahweh's been merciful to show us how you do that. I know of no other church that knows has that knowledge. Now, back to that other question I started out with. What is the one thing that all churches agree on? Baptism. Now, some are sprinkling, but that's the rare exception, really. Most all cases, it's baptism. Now, why do they agree on that? If you take the Messianic Jewish movement, baptism. Baptist, baptism. Church of Christ, big thing with them is baptism. Catholicism, usually they baptize. What about the sacred name groups, the Holy Day observers? All of them. Why do they agree on baptism? They don't agree on hardly anything else. Why that? Well, here's what I think. This is why I think they agree on that. I talked to a young gentleman several years ago. He used to be in the Worldwide Church of God and became disenchanted with that church and finally left after some of the split and so on. Started going to an SDA, and he said the minister could not wait to get him baptized, was eager to get him baptized. Why? Why is that? Why does Satan, and I believe Satan runs those churches, I'll just be frank, honest with you, I think you know I feel that way anyway, but Satan drives those organizations, Church of God, Seventh Day, you name it. Satan drives those organizations. Why are they so insistent, Jehovah's Witnesses and all? Saw a picture of they baptized 3,000 and 6,000 in one day. Why are they so insistent on getting people baptized? Because they know this. Satan knows this, that by repentance of just what you know to repent of and baptism, your sins are washed away. And you are a sitting duck for their spirit. Then is when their spirit can be put on you and in you. And then they've got you. Until that happens, they don't have you. The hook is not really there. But once you are baptized and have your sins washed away, and then they lay their hands on you, they transfer the spirit of deception that drives their organization. I mean, it wells with your spirit, and you are hooked at that level of repentance. You can never get the sign. That's why the sign is absolutely crucial, because you want to get the right spirit. I want you to notice what Peter said over here in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 32. He said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, for the remission of sins." Well, John's already been doing this. This is old hat with John. Repent and be baptized. Now he adds here, in the name of Yahshua, but the prerequisite is to repent first. We've already talked about what that's going to require. You cannot overlook the heavy-hitting laws, the really weighty laws, and Yahweh overlooked that and say it's okay. That's not the case. He said, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm going to turn this around just a little bit. Repent of what you know to repent of and be baptized, and you shall receive a spirit. A spirit. Because the evidence shows me, if you look at just the hard evidence, just take it as a scientific inquiry, you look at the hard evidence, people that are that do not repent of breaking the Sabbath, they get a spirit, and they resist that Sabbath law to the death. They will not relent on that. They will call you everything but what's nice. Because of that Sabbath sign, they cannot be sanctified because they didn't get past the first hurdle. Repent. You got to know what to repent of. If you repent just of what you believe is sin, that makes no difference. It just sets you up to receive a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit. You'll get a spirit, all right. That's why the Bible says, test the spirits. You will get a spirit. And when I was in this, in the worldwide, I remember thinking about this as I began to pull away from out of the clutches of that organization. I'll tell you why, how I was able to do that, or Yahweh's mercy. I began to notice that there was a sense that people bought into. It's almost like an overflowing kind of attitude and spirit that people had in this organization, and you couldn't puncture that. You couldn't insert a truth of the Bible, they'd reject it just like this, because they had this spirit. I would call it maybe the Armstrong spirit, whatever it is, but it was a spirit that these people had that blocked any consideration of truth outside their counterfeit religion. And they felt good about it. Well, why was that? They received a spirit. They were baptized. Of course, they baptized in Jesus Christ's name, so they got his spirit, you see. They got the wrong spirit. So what this formula is telling you is this. If you're baptized and you repent of what you know to repent of, but it may not even be true sin, but what you feel is sin, okay? You get that stuff out. You confess it to the Catholic confessional. You get that out. Why do they have that? Confessional. So you get more of their spirit. You confess it, you get it out, you get it washed away, and now, boom. This says you will receive the gift of, now, depending on the circumstances, it won't be the Holy Spirit. You'll get a spirit, though. The evidence is overwhelming in favor of that conclusion when you look at the actual circumstances. Now, how was it under Yahweh's complete mercy, and I didn't even know his name at that point, how was it that I was able to get out of the hooks of the Worldwide Church of God. And if you've ever been in it, which we have, you know it is lethal. It is almost impossible to get out of it. They'll throw you out. But most people, well, they might become disenchanted with some organizational thing or something, but not doctrine, basically. It's almost impossible to get loose from it. Even if you leave the church, they still believe the same things, basically, they did. Well, the first thing that Yahweh, and I do now believe it's Yahweh because he was, because of all the events that's transpired since then. The first thing he began to teach me was not the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath. The first thing he began to teach me was the laws of clean and unclean. Why? Because the laws of clean and unclean get the sins off of you so that you can receive the right kind of spirit. If you get the right laws, it's not just a baptism. It is a form of baptism, but it's specific cases of uncleanness for various reasons, you know. Touching a dead body, touching this, whatever. The laws are over there in Leviticus, the 15th chapter, I guess it is. Tells you about some of those things. Those, you know, I have gone to great pains to try to conform to those laws for a period of several years. And gradually over time, I believe this was Yahweh's way of releasing me from the hooks of that organization by getting rid of the sins. So a little bit of the spirit of Yahweh could actually creep in. A little bit of the truth, a little bit more of the truth, a little bit more of the truth over time. And finally then the Sabbath dawned and then the sacred name. The Sabbath first, sacred name second. That's how I was able to get out of it. By the skin of my teeth, so to speak. The Bible mentions that phrase, by the way. Just by that process of cleansing, it freed me to be able to receive some more information from Yahweh. So I'm very thankful for that. But that's the process that Yahweh went through. So when you look at this situation of what does it take to be baptized, it's really a very important question, but it deserves a very important answer. Not just any answer will do. And as a result, if you get the wrong answer, you do just exactly like what I've said before. You trade one bad religion for another bad religion. And if you do that, you're just as bad off as you were, except that for a certain amount of time, you did have your sins washed away. That's a good thing when you were baptized. But for after a while, though, the sins begin to accumulate again. You're hooked in this deceptive spirit, and you will reject the truth and receive only the lie that that spirit wants to give you. And so this is the mystery of it all. And when you look at this and you see what a mysterious thing that's going on here, that it's and Yahweh can make the statement so clearly that this great mystery is resolved once you see really what's happening. And you know how important the Sabbath sign is. So eventually, sooner or later, you have to come to knowledge of the Sabbath or you're not ready to be baptized. I remember a situation many years ago where a gentleman was baptized in Yahshua's name. This is after we had learned the knowledge of the Sabbath. The day he was baptized, he, in a very bitter tone, said, "The law has been changed." And he never then held on to the Sabbath. And little by little, week by week, year by year, he would waffle on this, waffle on that, believe something one week and disbelieve it the next, almost that bad. get something clearly proven, and 3 weeks later, he's not sure if it's true or not. Why? Let go of the sign. Let go of the sign. But the sign is first. And if you don't buy that sign, if that's not really what you believe, baptism doesn't help you. It just keeps you locked into a bad religion. And sooner or later, if you lose that, then that's it. I don't know if that's the quote unpardonable sin or not, but I just can imagine that if somebody had the sign at one time and they let it go for whatever reason, cares of this life, they lose that spirit, because this is the way, this is how we know that we have Yahweh's spirit. This is how we know we're sanctified. And I would say this, if you're in an organization that hasn't learned anything new in 35 years, there's something wrong with that organization. I believe that we grow in grace and knowledge. My wife and I have discussed this many times because it's a very important issue. You grow in grace and knowledge, you don't have it all at once, but there's a certain minimum you have to have. Until you get to that level of understanding the Sabbath and baptize after that point, it's going to be, I guess, virtually impossible to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. So we must grow in grace and knowledge. We don't have it all at once. And we have to learn how to prove things. We have to spend some time in this book. This is a big, thick book. There's a lot there. But Yahweh's given us information through our literature that helps sort some of this out, you know. But this is the basis of where we start. And just think what all we've learned since the Sabbath. The Sabbath is just the tip, you know, the name itself. I was talking to this guy over the phone recently. He was concerned about the name, which is very important. And I didn't say this to him, but I thought of it later. I should have said this. The name is just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You can have the name and not be converted at all. The real part underneath the surface of the water, the big part of the iceberg, is the Sabbath issue. And that's what Satan doesn't want people to know. He hates that because he's got his own Sabbath. So the basis of where we are is gauged by our stand on the Sabbath. That's our calling card. That's our hallmark doctrine that people know us most about, is that Sabbath issue. We're the heretics out there in left field with the Sabbath. But if you know how to prove things, and they can be proven, there's some things that can be proven absolutely, just as sure as the rising of the sun in the morning from this scripture. Doesn't mean we understand it all. Doesn't mean we have the complete take on it. But once you, if you have that, you can grow in grace and knowledge if you have the Sabbath. If you don't have it, you won't. Just think about the facts. I don't have it with me, but I've been getting this little magazine from these people for probably at least 25 years, maybe close to 30, I don't know. It's a long time. And I've read through it. I usually read through the magazine. It's fairly short. It's a little thing. The format's the same it's always been. I did not recall in reading that one single new fundamental truth in that publication. Platitudes, you know, basically the things that we would see in Protestantism, except it's couched with Yahshua's name, the holy days, the Sabbaths, and so on. But same old, sunset. Nothing has changed, at least since I've known them, in probably 30 years. Now, if an organization has been around 30 years and they have not learned anything new, my conclusion is there's something bad wrong there. My conclusion is Yahweh's not there, because they don't have the sign. You have to get the sign before you can really start to grow. That's sort of base one. But it takes a long time sometimes for people to come to that. But without that, if you don't really get it and don't really buy into it, and then are baptized in Yahshua's name to get the Holy Spirit, and I should say, and not the evil spirit, if you don't have that, then you can't grow in grace and knowledge. So I just wanted to cover that because of the new information that's come to light from science itself, speaking on the same issue of baptism or cleansing. And I'll give them a little bit more time. Sooner or later, they'll catch up to the scriptures on this. Might be a few years, but they will, because the Bible's ahead of them, way ahead of them on this. So just wanted to show that to see where's the minimum for baptism and what is that minimum. And how important is baptism in relation to what you know before you're qualified to be baptized?
please contact us today to subscribe to our free Insight magazine. The Insight provides the connection between current events and biblical prophecy. People want to know the causes of war, disease, terrorism, and where we are headed. Are we living in the final generation of this age? The Insight discusses these questions from the standpoint of what the Bible says. The solutions to the problems humanity faces are found in the law of Yahweh. Our literature focuses on that law. This is vital information urgently needed in these uncertain times. So be sure to subscribe to the Insight today by contacting us at ICY P.O. Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas, 72455, USA. Or please visit us online at icyahweh.org.